They simply waited for first snowfall, then raided the surrounding countryside. This was, I should imagine, standard procedure for almost anyone under siege, castle or not. I'm sure those in your strategic blue zones, at least those above the snow line, operated in much the same manner. In that way, we were fortunate that most of Europe freezes in winter. Many of the defenders I've spoken to have agreed that the inevitable onset of winter, long and brutal as it was, became a life-saving reprieve. As long as they didn't freeze to death, many survivors took the opportunity of frozen Z-heads to raid the surrounding countryside for everything they'd need for the warmer months.
Windsor was your castle.
Well, not mine, personally.
I mean, you were there.
It was, from a defensive standpoint, as close as one could come to perfection. Before the war, it was the largest inhabited castle in Europe, almost 13 acres. It had its own well for water and enough storage space to hold a decade's worth of rations. The fire of 1992 led to the state-of-the-art suppression system, and the subsequent terrorist threats upgraded security measures to rival any in the UK. Not even the general public knew what their tax dollars were paying for. Bulletproof glass, reinforced walls, retractable bars, and steel shutters hidden so cleverly in the windowsills and doorframes. But of all of our achievements at Windsor, nothing can rival the siphoning of crude oil and natural gas from the deposit several kilometers beneath the castle's foundation. It had been discovered in the 1990s, but never exploited for a variety of political and environmental reasons. You can believe we exploited it, though. Our contingent of Royal Engineers rigged a scaffolding up and over our wall and extended it to the drilling site. It was quite an achievement. And you can see how it became the precursor to our fortified motorways. On a personal level, I was just grateful for warm rooms, hot food, and, in a pinch, the Molotovs and flaming ditch. It's not the most efficient way to stop a Z-head, I know, but as long as you've got them stuck and can keep them in the fire. And besides, what else could we do when the bullets ran out and we were left with nothing else but an odd lot of medieval hand weapons? There were quite a bit of those about, in museums, personal collections, and not a decorative dud among them. These were real, tough and tested. They became part of British life again, ordinary citizens traipsing about with a mace or a halberd or double-bladed battle axe. I myself became rather adept with this claymore, although you wouldn't think of it to look at me.
He gestures, slightly embarrassed, to the weapon almost as long as himself.
It's not really ideal. It takes a lot of skill, but eventually you learn what you can do, what you never thought you were capable of, what others around you are capable of.
Forbes hesitates before speaking. He is clearly uncomfortable. I hold out my hand. Thank you so much for taking the time.
There's more.
If you're not comfortable...
No, please, it's quite all right.
Forbes takes a breath.
She wouldn't leave, you see. She insisted, over the objections of Parliament, of the Prime Minister, of her own family, to remain at Windsor. As she put it, for the duration. I thought maybe it was misguided nobility or maybe fear-based paralysis. I tried to make her see reason, begged her almost on my knees. Hadn't she done enough with the Balmoral Decree, turning all her estates into protected zones for anyone who could reach and defend them? Why not join her family in Ireland or the Isle of Man? Or at least, if she was insisting on remaining in Britain, Supreme Command Headquarters north of the Antonine.
What did she say?
The highest of distinctions is service to others. Her father had said that. It was the reason he had refused to run to Canada during the Second World War. The reason her mother had spent the Blitz visiting civilians huddled in the tube stations beneath London. The same reason to this day we remain a united kingdom. They were viewed very much like castles, I suppose, as crumbling, obsolete relics with no real modern function other than as tourist attractions. But when the skies darkened and the nation called, both reawoke to the meaning of their existence. One shielded our bodies, the other our souls.